Shamdir.
Thank you. For today's session, the staff have prepared two papers. Agenda paper 24C, which provides a comprehensive high-level summary of the feedback received from the investment community on the board's request for views for its 2015 agenda consultation. Excuse me. Request for views.
Take your time. You have to rush.
Yeah. And agenda paper 24D, which outlines the results of an online survey undertaken to obtain the feedback on the request for views together with a demographic profile of all respondents. Agenda paper 24C and D are informative in nature. Sorry. And do not request decisions from the board. This session will focus on agenda paper 24C, which provides an overview of all investor feedback in one document and explains the ways in which feedback was received from investors. This paper also includes a summary of the demographic of investors that provided such feedback. The individual project teams will be analyzing the investor feedback received related to their respective topics and will report to the board on their projects at this and other meetings. With regard to the input from the investor community, the feedback was in the form of comment letters, investor outreach meetings, and an online survey. 12 comment letters were received from the investors on the request for views, and aside from these comment letters, the main method of performing outreach with the investment community was an online survey. Whilst the survey was targeted at the investment community, any stakeholder was free to answer the survey, with approximately half of the respondents to the survey being preparers, auditors, or academics. For completeness, we included the demographics and details of priorities for all respondents to the survey in agenda paper 24D. Again, responses for these other stakeholders will be considered by the individual project teams. The survey comprised two parts. Part one asked questions related to the trustees' request for views, while part two focused on the board's request for views. These questions are detailed in paragraphs 7 and 8 of agenda paper 24C. In terms of the key messages received, investors welcomed the board undertaking the request for views. The main messages received included the following points. The needs of investors should be given the highest priority when the board makes decisions regarding the allocation of resources. The board should rely on the work of national standard setters and other research available where possible given its resource constraints. For major projects, the disclosure initiative and conceptual framework should have the highest priority. Changes to the standards should be in the form of minimal narrow scope amendments that significantly enhance financial reporting. Post-implementation reviews should play a more prominent role in the standard setting process. There should be a period of calm, for example, no significant new standards level projects, so that stakeholders could digest the effects of new standards and allow the board to concentrate on implementation and application issues. And mixed views were expressed regarding the interval between agenda consultations, with an overall preference for a 5-year interval. In terms of the trustees' request for views, investors commented on whether the board should undertake an extension of its work into wider corporate reporting and expressed mixed views. Those in favor believe that an integrated reporting framework would improve the quality and reliability of global corporate reporting, while those not in favor commented that the board already had enough to do with limited resources. Investors also commented that technological improvements could provide for more timely and accurate financial reporting and contribute to the standardization of accounting information. Regarding the prioritization of research topics in the request for views by the investment community, regardless of the type of investor, geography, or the channel through which they shared their views, primary financial statements stood out as the most important topic. Reasons given for this included the importance of performance reporting and certain subtotals to investors' analyses, the need to examine the purpose, structure, and content of the primary financial statements, and improving the format, scope, and standards for financial statements provides for a deeper and broader understanding of factors affecting an entity's performance. Principles of Disclosure and some other disclosure initiative issues was the only other project that stood out across all outreach channels. Comments included the perceived lack of coherence in disclosures today results in information about the same topic being dispersed throughout the financial statements, and the board should incorporate alternative performance measures that are standardized. The focus on these two topics is similar to the responses provided by investors in the Request for Views 2011 agenda consultation. The priority of the remaining topics often vary depending on the nature of the response or by demographic of the respondent, with no strong consensus for certain topics. However, this does not discount the importance of other topics that investors have noted. Investors commented on both new projects that they would like to add to the work plan and individual research projects listed in the request for views. New projects that investors would like the board to consider included additional disclosures relating to cash and debt, amendments to IS 7 statement of cash flows, information or liabilities related to climate risks, and industry-specific issues. These are detailed in paragraphs 47A to G of Agenda Paper 24C. For individual research projects, investors expressed an interest in a variety of topics, including, but not limited to, goodwill and impairments, income taxes, equity method of accounting, financial instruments with characteristics of equity, and discount rates. These are detailed in paragraphs 47H to S of Agenda Paper 24C. Appendix A of Agenda Paper 24C provides detailed tables relating to both investor commented respondents in Part 1 and survey responses from investors in Part 2. Part 1 in Appendix A relating to investor commentators has tables that detail topics by order of priority that either correspond to standards level projects or that respondents would like the board to add to the work plan, topics by order of priority that correspond to the individual research projects listed in the request for views, and responses to whether the board should remove certain projects from its research agenda. Part 2 in Appendix A, relating to investor survey responses, shows tables that detail the responses to the survey questions relating to the trustee's request for views, the responses to the free-form question which asked respondents to list the three areas of financial reporting that they would most like the board to improve, and the ranking of individual research projects in line with those listed in the request for views. Do you have any comments?
I wanted to support one of the comments that Shandir made, which is also in the paper, and it's unusual, as you know, for us to have common agreement amongst the investment community, but as Shandir said, amongst all investors that responded, and despite what kind of investor they were or how they responded, they were asking us to look at the primary financial statements project. So I would ask the board to consider that. Obviously, I know you have to consider all the comments you've received, but that was a common theme, which we found is often unusual for the investment community.
Well, just to follow up on that, Barbara, do you think there's clarity on what they mean by the primary financial statement project?
I think that there could be different views from the investors. So some are talking about primary financial statements. Some look at performance reporting as a project. Some have referenced back to financial statement presentation. I know the team will come, I think, later today to talk about that. There, and I have talked to some of the investors about this, and some of them have said, you know, we may not have a clear view of what we think performance means, but we would like the board to go through that process and look into it with us and take the time to consider it. So while they may have different views on what primary financial statements project means, they all agree that some form of review of the financial statements and performance reporting would be appreciated, and they would like the board to consider that.
Amaro.
Thanks, Sans. Just in the same point, when discussing or actually talking with users in general, including investors, I think they started generally in terms of performance, what is performance, and then seek a better definition or add a definition of performance in our view. And then after that, they go to the presentation itself or financial statements in general. And in this modern world, they generally end up at some request for standardization because they see this as the the idea world in the world of technology. So it's a natural flow, I think, because some of them believe that if we fail to, at the end of the day, provide some level of standardization, they will be unable to use technology and arrive at the benefits that they would expect to have these better concepts in the future.
So what you're saying is they want us to do more formatting so that they can use electronic technology for their analysis.
Yeah, there are a number of investors that at the end of the day, despite the initial reaction to the project being a general look at all the financial statements that we had, as we had in the former project of financial statements presentation, at the end of the day, there's a general agreement that some level of standardization will be necessary, because without that, in the presentation, they will be unable really to benefit of any sort of technological advance, including, of course, XBRL.
Sue?
First of all, I wanted to say well done for doing the survey. I think it was great that we managed to get so many investors to respond and to give, I thought, quite thoughtful feedback, information on why they had the views they had, which I think was really helpful for our process. And also helpful, I think, that generally the sorts of themes that they highlighted as their key priority was consistent with other stakeholders. So this emphasis on primary financial statements, although there's some variance on what that means, and disclosure initiative was common across stakeholders, which is helpful. Another couple of things which struck me, and partly it feeds on what Pat was saying earlier about quick wins, I thought the comments that they made on statements of cash flows and the types of information that they were interested in was interesting. And there seemed to me to be some areas, at least, where we might be able to have quick wins, because some of it's slightly trickier because it's a sort of area of availability of cash across a group that we've sort of grappled with already over a few months. But some of it's easier stuff just on information on debt covenants, maturity, liquidity profile. It's pretty basic stuff, but if we could help with that, then we could respond, one would hope, in a timely fashion. The other thing I picked up on was something which Amaro's really just commented on, which was this comment that's made on paragraph 33 about a number of them noting that the standardisation of accounting information is critical for them, particularly moving forward to a digital world. And I think that's something we need to keep in mind as we think about sort of communication. I think often people are thinking, give me freedom to tell my story. But I think we need to not make sure that in doing that we don't lose sight of the fact that a lot of people using the statements want to have at least some basic level of standardisation and consistency to make their analysis easier and to fit in with a move towards digital reporting. So I think
isn't that a dilemma very hard to resolve?
I don't know. I think maybe using the taxonomy we can maybe have a little bit of the best of both worlds. If there's some common basic structure that you have, but it's something we need to keep in mind. It's not easy. But I think we need to not lose sight of that, because I think we're going to hear a lot from preparers that they want the freedom to communicate, and we need to not forget that maybe that might sometimes make the job of the investors and users of financial statements actually harder.
Mary?
Couple of thoughts, but Sue's opening remarks reminded me that I should preface it with the same congratulations for the work done and the very useful information. One thing I am trying to push myself to do is to look at their responses and say, let me get information about what areas we should be working on versus what outcomes we should achieve. Because while some of the input, if there are comments that are about outcomes or areas where they're having problems, that does take you back to work in that area. And I think we have to sort out, because we have the standard setting process, including the initial phases to gather evidence and assess what the scope of the project is, that brings all stakeholders together to try and hopefully reach a consensus. That's one thing. Second is that I'm trying to understand. It seems that there are inconsistent messages regarding disclosure framework versus disclosure initiative, and I'm not sure if that's if that's just a range of views from users of financial statements, or if that's we shot ourselves in our own foot with a variety of names or titles for different pieces of different projects. And if what they're saying to us is, we're less concerned about you developing a conceptual disclosure framework, we want you to do guidance maybe on application, maybe try to pull those messages out a bit more for us. I saw some tension, and I just didn't know if it was the normal spread of views or if there's a real message about what piece of disclosure initiative we should be focusing on and what kind of product or outcome they think we should be seeking to develop.
Do you want me to answer?
Sure.
I think that's a fair point. I think there was some confusion in the labeling, so there was some confusion as to what do we mean by this is a standards level versus this is a research project, and some of the one investor representative organization in particular commented that it wasn't easy for them to respond because of that, and they wanted to just talk about the issues they had in financial reporting versus labeling in these different areas. And there were other investors that also said the disclosure initiative may be too fragmented for them to think that anything would be accomplished, but that's not answering your question. Overall, the sense I got was that there was a request for more effective disclosures, so whatever piece that fit into in our work, and some of them asked us to look at it in conjunction with the conceptual framework, in conjunction with primary financial statements. Others said, you know, if you can develop principles that help these when you're writing new standards, that help these standards be more effective and give us better communication information and less compliance information. There were a couple of views. For the most part, what I've heard from investors is that they don't think there's disclosure overload. It's just not effective information, or they're not getting the right information. A couple have said, look, there is too much information, and we want this disclosure initiative or principles of disclosure to deal with this situation. So I don't know if that answers your question, but I think there was confusion about the different labeling, and that overall there is a request for more effective information that's more relevant for the investors and is more maybe giving them more information about the company versus more of a compliance issue.
So it wasn't that there were strong views about you shouldn't do a disclosure framework, but you should do this. It was just, let's talk about where we have problems and its disclosure effectiveness.
That's what our goal is.
Okay.
On this terminology point, there's a lot of confusion from this label disclosure framework. And the problem there is that the FASB's Investor Advisory Council put this label disclosure framework for something that was actually really an overarching standards level requirement. That's what they were looking for. They weren't really looking for a piece of a conceptual framework.
Yeah.
And that label's been attached to it ever since, and has caused confusion ever since.
Okay, Gary?
The Barbara's reaction on the relationship between performance reporting and primary financial statements, while of course related, I actually see them as different projects. And I think as the staff comes forward next month or the month afterwards, I think we gotta, you know, how would we approach performance reporting as its own project as opposed to part of primary financial statements? They could be done together, but as I'm just sitting here taking some quick notes, and like I would think in performance reporting, whether it's the definition of operating profit, rural CI and recycling, disc ops, relationships of operating profit, operating cash flow, non-GAAP measures. I mean, that's a massive project, you know, to be done correctly. And if we try to lump it in with what do you do with the balance sheet and cash flow statements and others, we're adding aggregation, disaggregation, and cohesiveness. I think they can be done as two different projects, and I actually recommend they should be. Having been in the trenches of dealing with investors in my preparer role, all the questions are on performance reporting. There's almost never questions on what's in the balance sheet or how does the balance sheet and the cash flow statements one reconcile to the other. It's performance reporting. So that's what I recommend to go with this.
Can I say something? Am I allowed to?
Sure. When have you not?
Well, no, I think that you're right. I personally would agree that they sound like two separate projects. I know in the agenda consultation it was referred to as primary financial statements, formerly performance reporting. So maybe there was where some of the confusion for the investors came. And what I wanted to say was investors have mentioned both of those things that you've described when they're talking about this project and performance reporting. So some have separated them, but those who have not have also talked about the cohesiveness between financial statements, linking and maybe having the same term in each set of, you know, in each financial statement so they understand how it flows through, and also defining, a lot of them have mentioned operating income, so they've combined the responses maybe into one, but I don't know if that means it needs to be one.
Jungu?
Thank you. Yes, very nice paper, but I need a clarification on page, this is 30 and 31, table 7, table 8. So I'm saying how to interpret the same result of these both tables, but we do have different responses in the case of free from question and the prompt to questions.
Yeah.
So, for example, in our primary financial statement, principal disclosure, but they are high ranked in both tables. However, income taxes, extractive activities, that they are top 4, 3, 4 in table 7. However, table 8, goodwill and impairment, and their debt and equity classification. So it seems to me, even though the sample size of the table 7 is a little small, maybe this is kind of a free format, a question. So, oops. So what I'm saying, how to approach these different results of the two quite similar objectives but different methods. So do you have any when you design the questionnaire, yeah, in question 12, that's a free form, but 13 to 27 is a kind of question of our request for views. If we have the similar result to problem but the different result, then how can you interpret these different results?
Well, I understand what you're saying. We had this discussion after the survey results came out, and you could view it different ways. First, what I would say is that when the teams look at the individual projects, they should look at this overall, so to consider, you know, what the information is that they've received on each of the different projects so they can put it into their analysis. We put this here because we appreciate that it's not very easy to weigh all the projects and we wanted you to have all the information. One could argue, and I'm not necessarily saying this, but one could argue that the free-form question could be more, you might consider that a little bit more because it's a free-form question, so it's not prompted. Of course, you could also argue that they've answered the free-form question looking at the rest of the information in the survey, and so they've used that going back to the free-form question. I think the fact that the free-form question is answering, that people took the time to put this information in the free-form question would at least enhance the information you got from the prompted survey questions and show that investors took the time to put this in, it means something. I can't tell you how to weigh it within the two because I understand what your question is, and that's, you know, the format of the survey resulted in that. I don't know if Peter has different views, but I would ask you to consider the fact that the investors took the time to fill this out and put that information in there as an important.
I think the other thing to bear in mind is that there was a much greater number of investors who responded to the research program and who scored and prioritized the research projects themselves. There were relatively few investors who actually gave us nominations, and some people just gave us one or two nominations. So the total number of nominations is much less, for example, than the number of people who scored an individual project, which means that I think you may get unexpected sort of fluctuations in the responses because they were self-selecting and there were relatively few people who took part.
That's the table 7 information.
Yeah, the table 7 information. So, for example, the top number of people who did primary financial statements is 16, whereas 71 people in total on the existing project expressed a preference. So there's going to be a fluctuation just because of the small sample size.
This question, I'm just curious. Page 24, paragraph 47, about extractive activities and intangible assets. it says, some investors commented that the board should look at the inconsistency between the treatment of acquired and internally generated intangible. And also they said that at present, there is a high percentage of corporate value that is not present on the balance sheet. Hence, the project should address internally generated intangible should be undertaken. The point I'm curious is, actually, IFRS is not designed to measure the corporate value. Mm-hmm. However, it seemed like some investors want us to measure corporate value. Is that the general concept of investors or not? That is the point I'm curious.
I don't think that there was just a few comments relating to paragraph R. So it wasn't kind of a general consensus of all investors. Based on these specific comments, this was the point came through. But I don't think we can extrapolate this across the responses provided by all investors.
It's not general, but some investors want us to.
Yeah, so these
corporate value.
These were probably just a few.
I think this is a theme we hear a lot when we look at the IFRS 3 responses to the post-implementation review of IFRS 3. And it's, I don't think investors like Shandir saying expect us to measure corporate value. They want to use that information that in financial statements submit to try to measure it themselves. Having said that, doesn't mean that's the focus of why we write, you know, financial reporting standards. Mm-hmm. But there is inconsistency in their mind between organic intangibles and what you have in the P&L versus intangibles that you might acquire and amortize. And they've had these, you know, they've said this a few times where they see inconsistency, and these comments were put in this section versus IFRS 3 because they were only focusing on intangibles and they weren't necessarily focusing on business combinations. So that's why you might see something that looks like it sticks out here versus IFRS 3 comments about acquired versus internally generated and what they see is the inconsistency. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay.
I was just going to say, this question about the unrecognised intangibles, it is something that overlaps obviously with the IFRS 3 comments we got, but also on the extractive intangibles comments that we got, papers on both of which will come next month. And I guess there is this question about, you know, is there some missing information given the gap between what's recognised and market values? And some comments we received included suggestions about disclosure solutions to that. So not necessarily putting things on balance sheets, but what improvements could be made to the disclosures about intangible assets that an entity has. And we'll look at that in the forthcoming papers.
The reason why it struck me is because, you know, recently the corporate value includes the huge amount of internally generated intangibles or goodwill, so company like Facebook or those new companies. So that's why I was curious. This is the point investors are so much interested in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can I mention one other thing?
Closing comments?
Yeah, well, besides, I will actually also wanted to thank the agenda consultation team, because I know worked very hard on this, and there's a lot of information here, so I appreciate that the board has a lot of things to consider. The closing remark that I wanted to make was, at the risk of pain or penalty, I'd like to wish our chairman a happiest birthday. Oh. Happiest birthday, if that makes sense. Happy birthday to our chair. I won't say how old he is, but I think if he reversed the digits, he would be under 10. Anyway, thank you all. This is my, I think, last board meeting, so thank you, everyone. Okay. Thank you, Han. Happy birthday.
Barbara, we wish you well, and we wish you good luck in your future endeavors, wherever they may take you.
Thank you.